Hey guys, welcome back to The Bulwark. I'm Sam Stein, managing editor here with my bud, JVL. We are here to talk about crime and racial profiling and Trump. There was a couple things that happened over the weekend and then today. And then, of course, you addressed it in the trial. But I want to start with today. The Supreme Court decides that they're going to lift a hold on these sort of roving deportation units that the administration had been dispatching to Los Angeles. And basically, they did it by saying that it's totally cool to racially profile. Some of the quotes in there from Brett Kavanaugh amounted to saying, hey, if someone is Hispanic, speaking Spanish, and hanging out at a Home Depot, it makes common sense that they might be more likely to be here illegally and therefore send ICE after them. And he said, look, if you discover after the fact that they're not here illegally, just let them go. To me, this is just sanctioning racial profiling, and to a lot of other people too, frankly. How'd you read it?
Yeah, so this is a Fourth Amendment case, and the argument against is these are unreasonable searches and seizures, and these are being conducted without any probable cause. And it is important to understand the Supreme Court released this decision without any explanation.
Right.
It was just, no, they can do it. Brett Kavanaugh, I guess, really wanted to get on the record how much he agreed with it, which is a weird thing to
he did not to have
offer
to do,
a concurrence.
He did not have to do that. Yeah.
I'm going to read something from his concurrence. As for stops of those individuals who are legally in the country, the questioning in those circumstances is typically brief, and those individuals may promptly go free after making clear to the immigration officers that they are U.S. citizens or otherwise legally in the United States.
Right.
Let me just read you some headlines. U.S. citizen detained by ICE in L.A. says she wasn't given water for 24 hours. U.S. citizen says she was arrested and jailed by ICE in San Francisco. U.S. citizens, legal residents detained during Southern California legal raids filing claims against the government. Pregnant U.S. citizen arrested by ICE went into labor prematurely in California, claim says. It is simply not the case that in practice, what Kavanaugh right. believes to be true is what is happening universally. And so, like, I don't even know what to. It's like he's living in an alternate universe.
Well, you'd have to play it out this way. If you are Hispanic or look Hispanic and you live in Los Angeles and you go to Home Depot, but you are a U.S. citizen, from now on, you'd have to bring your papers with you. You have to, right, bring your citizenship, whatever
sure.
papers, prove your citizenship. You couldn't leave. But let's say you forgot to do it at that time, and they round you up, and you claim to them, I am a U.S. citizen, but they don't believe you. You are fucked until somehow you can get a lawyer on the phone or figure out a way to get your citizenship authenticated in front of them. And even then, it's unclear how long that will take. And that act of detaining you, putting you in a detention center, forcing you to actually get a lawyer. There are damages that are associated with that act that are not just fiscal, but
lawyers don't do these things for free, Sam.
Yes, I know. Right? It's crazy. And yeah. So now you're basically saying to people, you have this burden that you have to carry around unless you are stapling your citizenship papers to you at all times. And I'm not trying to be like a dot-eyed liberal about this, but it does strike me that the white male Supreme Court justice is the one who did this. He has nothing to worry about. He's not going to go out and get detained or, you know, it's so to not understand the problems associated with racial profiling is beyond.
So there, I mean, that is one way to read this is that this is an out of touch lawyer up in his ivory tower who simply doesn't understand the way in which law enforcement conducts itself. Because this isn't a case of laws being enforced. It's just a case of LEOs being rogue. Except that Kavanaugh and this court also said recently that it was not acceptable for universities to take race and ethnicity as one of the factors they consider in making admissions. So as far as I can tell, colleges can't use anything that they may intuit about a person's race or ethnicity to bestow admissions. But agents of the state who carry weapons and are authorized to use lethal force can detain people based on, I mean, I don't want to like be one of these people who are like, it's all racism, but I think it's all racism.
There's a fair amount of it here.
I just don't understand legitimately. What is another way to read that?
There is not really, it's hard to read it another way. The only other way, and it is still racism, but the only other way is that it's a highly politicized Supreme Court that will just do whatever.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. Whatever the Trump administration wants.
Right. And now I was thinking about this. Because Trump has obviously suffered some setbacks on the lower court level, but there's really been only one real setback. And I don't even know if he could qualify it that big a setback for him at the Supreme Court level. And that was the Abrego-Garcia order early on. That was vague enough that they kind of skirted it for a little bit. But other than that, he's pretty much gotten everything he could want from the Supreme Court. And a lot of this has been done on the shadow docket, like you're talking about. But they've allowed him to fire heads of independent agencies. They've basically sanctioned almost all of his immigration stuff. The big questions are what will happen appropriations, but
they've said he can undo congressionally created offices like USAID, which is again an insane thing. It takes an act of Congress to create these things, but the president can unilaterally destroy them. What?
And so he's basically been given that. That might, substantiate what the whole like, well, they'll just do what Trump wants them to do argument. But I do think race is obviously coming here.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Soul. If you're struggling to switch off at night, let me tell you, Soul's out-of-office gummies help me relax, quiet my thoughts, and fall asleep at night naturally. Just the right balance of CBD and THC to ease me to a restful night. Heck, I might be on one right now. I don't even know. Look, the summer's almost over, and it's time for everyone, including at the Bulwark, to lock in a little harder during the day and the week. But when I get home, I need to clear my head and rest and recharge for the next day. And that, folks, is where Soul comes in. Soul is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and to help you unwind. With the rest I'm getting, thanks to Soul, I come back to the content mines much sharper. I mean, look at me. I'm sharp. It's because of Soul. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz to boost your mood and to enhance creativity and relaxation. With 5 different strengths, you can tailor the dose to fit your vibe. From a gentle 1.5 milligram microdose, which I take just to be the right amount of parent that I want to be, to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience, which we used to call, but we don't anymore, the Tim Miller special. Tim says, for the record, he doesn't take that much. Not sure if I believe him. And if you like their out-of-office gummies, try their new out-of-office beverage. It's a refreshing, alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or just honestly for socializing with some friends. Soul has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get a better night's rest, including their top-selling sleepy gummies, fan favorite for deep, restorative sleep. And who doesn't need that? Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today, right now. Soul is offering my audience 30% off your entire order. Can't believe it. I'm going to read that again. 30% off your entire order. Crazy. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code BulwarkTakes. That's GetSoul.com, promo code BulwarkTakes, and you'll get 30% off.
I actually want to shift to crime as an issue because this is, you know, I think the administration is merging these two things, anti-immigration initiatives and crime crackdowns. And that's kind of coming to a head in Chicago, where over the weekend you had that napalm tweet that Trump put out, or not a tweet, a bleep, whatever. Who the fuck cares? I love the try today because it got at something that's like bothering me. Why don't you tell about Derek Hunter saga and just the contradictions and lack of outrage from Derek Hunter and how that would launch the triad here.
Yeah. So there's this mouth breather named Derek Hunter. And back during the election campaign, he wrote an op-ed for The Hill in which he was like, oh, Kamala Harris is lying to you about Trump sending the military after U.S. citizens. And it turns out, Trump sent the military after U.S. citizens, and he did it in Los Angeles. He has done it in D.C. He, over the weekend, threatened to do it in Chicago. And again, saying Chicago is about to see why it's called the Department of War, not saying like the criminal underworld in Chicago. No. He's not saying the Maroney family, right? Like just, we're going to make war against the U.S., this great American city. Anyway, this seems like kind of a thing that maybe if I were Derek Hunter, I would be like in unbelievable shame over. But in fact, he has spent the last 48 hours doing like dozens upon dozens of tweets about crime. And our old buddy Mark Caputo formerly The Bulwark, now at Axios, had a big story about this today, where this is how MAGA and Trump is pivoting. They are pivoting hard into crime. Right. And you are, I mean, you could see it in real time today by going to Twitter and looking at feeds like this guy, Derek Hunter's and Charlie Kirk's. Everything is just crime, crime, crime. Videos upon videos and demands of how dare they, right? I'm sure you've seen this today, right?
No, it's the Charlotte video that they've been pushing, and it's horrible. Like, obviously, individual crime like that, and even more than individual, you know, if you have any collective issues of crime in a community, it's horrible. But what they do is they amplify it, and then they turn around and say, well, why aren't you paying attention to it? Why aren't you, or why are you ignoring? Why does it make you mean ignoring it? So it is a pivot. Yeah.
Yeah. So this serves a few purposes for the administration. The first is which crime becomes a pretext to continue deployments of the military, right? And that is my belief. Maybe this is wrong. My theory is that all of that stuff, the military, is really aimed at softening the ground for November of 2026, when they are going to want to deploy military to high turnout, overwhelmingly Democratic areas and attempt to shave like 3/100ths of a point off of turnout.
Sure.
Right. Which in close elections, if you do it pretty smartly, right? If you moneyball this, I bet you can find ways in which, you know, 3/100ths of a percentage point here and there, like, manages to flip the House. And they know their plan for very thin margins. But the other thing it lets you do is, right now, their big weakness is the economy. The economy is, like, really, things are not good. We are heading towards a recession. This allows the administration to posit that there is another crisis even more important than whatever economic bad news there is, and that's crime. Mm-hmm. And it right. even allows them, and this is funny, because, you know, Trump will never admit that there's an economic crisis, I don't think. Like, he'll just insist that everything's great, even while we're right. in a recession. But if he decides he does want to give a little ground on that, like he has to, he can do it and then blame crime for it. He can say, it's because of these criminals have stabbed us in the back, and because of all the Democrats who have enabled them and who are on the side of the criminals, that's why.
Right.
Here, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he can do that. He can also, and he's done so far, blame immigration, obviously, right? Like, all the jobs losses, they've said, is just because we're kicking out the illegal immigrants. And, you know, their line is that native born Americans are seeing job growth. And so there's a duality to it. I guess I'm kind of curious, because I'm trying to rack my head about this. In 2018, was that the caravan election where they warned about the caravans coming? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was. I can be wrong, yeah. because I feel like they were all caravan elections for a stretch.
I think
there.
That was the OG caravan election. Yeah. But they do this playbook. I think what's different about this is that it's not explicitly about immigrants.
Right.
But it's about cities that are become haven for crimes. And I was watching Trump today speak about the DC situation at the prayer breakfast, wherever I was at this morning. And it was like, just man's on a different planet. It's like, I have an anonymous friend who finally, after 4 years of never going out to eat at a restaurant in DC, went out 4 times in a week and a half. It's like, come on, man.
And he said, I haven't gone out in 4 years for dinner with my wife. The restaurants were all closing because people were afraid, even if they were in the restaurant, it didn't matter. They were held up. You know, guys would walk in with guns into a restaurant. And that's over. It's not happening. It's now safe. And this man said, I've gone out to dinner in the last week and a half 4 times.
That's helpful, because DC restaurants are suffering. So yeah, it's good for his friend for helping prop up the local economy.
Appreciate it. But, like, I do think there are people who, and obviously there are people who believe that, you know, DC, Chicago, New York City are just, you know, hellholes, that if you left your house, you would be stabbed. So I do think this is a message, not obviously to the cities, it's to the people who are outside the cities, who look at, you know, who have this perception of city life that is totally unmoored from reality.
Yeah. I want to do a little rant here. Is it okay? Sure. Can I just rant at you for a minute? So it drives me crazy that there are a lot of very well-meaning people who hate Donald Trump, who will look at this and will begin with, well, of course we do have a crime problem.
I hate that too, actually.
And
yeah, go ahead.
I just reject this framing completely. I rejected root and branch, because saying, like, there's a crime, that crime is bad, is like saying that water is wet. All crime is bad. But guess what? There is always crime, always and forever. You cannot judge crime against some platonic ideal of, well, if we were Singapore, then maybe we'd only have 2 acts of graffiti every year and there would be no murders. That's not reality.
The chart you put in your piece is unbelievable. I'm looking at it right now. from the FBI, the report of violent crime rate in the United States from 1990 to 2023. Now, you had the arrow pointing to the rate in 2020, but I'm looking back at 92, 93.
Yeah.
And like, people don't remember. Like, that actually was a time when you would go into New York City and be like, legitimately be scared. Times Square was just peep shows and, you know, yeah, vagrants and vagabonds. This
was the era of Bernie Goetz, right? And
yeah,
the Charles Bronson movies and the Clint Eastwood vigilante movies.
Right, right.
But my point is that I no serious person should judge crime in any way other than relatively. Like, it has to be judged relative to recent American history and context. And to give in to the framing of, well, crime is a problem. No, don't give in to that. That's absolute bullshit. Even American cities where things are relatively bad are still infinitely safer than they were in 1990. And guess what? Your parents and my parents went around Chicago and New York all the time in the 90s, and they were fine too. Like, it, you know, this is, things are okay. And this weirdness of like, you know, hey, we're not afraid of polio. We're not going to get our kids vaccinated, but I don't want to set foot in the Bronx. Give me a fucking break. It's, yeah, it's all just racism, Sam. Like, I honestly, and this is the other thing I want to say, just if you, please, anybody listening to this, go look at some MAGA feeds on Twitter or on YouTube. Do that over the next 24 hours. Look at all the crime videos they're showing. Count the number of ones where the perps are white.
Yeah, it's not, you won't see any.
Because I'm telling you, it's zero.
Zero.
It's zero. Unless there's a person who commits like assault or murder who's trans, in which case they can finger them. No, but otherwise, it is this weird, it's this total racialist vision. That guy, Derek Hunter, he's even posting, you know, pictures of assaults and you know, videos of street fights from France. Because it's like, right, anything to find places where there are black people hitting other people.
Remember the whole naked knockout? Do you remember the knockout game fad that happened?
Yeah.
And that would, to me, stood out as like the epitome of what happens here, which is legitimately horrifying thing. But like, maybe, you know, a handful of people were affected by it. And yet it consumed Fox News for weeks upon end. I guess it makes good TV, makes good politics for them, too.
That, can I say the other thing is so weird about this, Sam, is that this idea that like the media is covering up crime. We are in like year 45 of if it bleeds, it leads, which is, you know, just turn on
crime all the
any
time.
Local yeah. newscast yeah, anywhere like, in America. And at 11 o'clock, it doesn't matter if somebody discovered cold fusion that day, they're going to lead with whatever murder happened, you know, in the nearest city. Like, this is
no, it's all relative. It's like, you know, what is the number of people who die from car accidents every year? Exponentially more than, you know, what you get in the inner city crime spree. So it's like, yeah, are the priorities are wrong. The coverage is wrong, but it's where we are and Trump's playing it. JVL, always uplifting to talk to you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, it's great.
Subscribe to the feed, guys. Click like. We appreciate that, too. Talk to you later.